Come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark.
I thought you wanted me to say it, Mark.
I saw you looking at me. I'm like, I forgot something.
Yeah. And Brooke.
Yeah, that's you. We are exceptionally late recording this episode because you had some technical difficulties whenever we went to do it the other day.
Yep. But
here we are.
Which would have been a late recording as well.
It would have been, yes. Not as late, but...
No.
But anyways, we're talking about your pick of September, which was 1995's Heat.
Yeah.
This is a movie that's on like the IMDb top 250, the Letterboxd top 250, probably a few more.
Yeah.
What made you decide to choose this behemoth 3 hour long movie?
Well, I think I mentioned last time, like I have a couple other ones in mind, but I haven't really done too many serious action movies, and I know you love this movie and I like this movie a lot. It's, you know, spoiler alert, but a lot of legends in it, and yeah.
Yeah, this cast list is unreal.
Yeah.
Nice. Definitely a good pick. It's one that I've been wanting to watch again for a long time, just to kind of get it on Letterboxd. So
nice.
It all worked out for us. I think I had to watch this in like three sittings, though.
Yeah, I watched it in two sittings. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, before we start talking about the movie, let's kick off our box office news and booze. What are you drinking tonight?
Just drinking some water. Boring, oh, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, kind of taking a break from alcohol for a bit, so.
Yeah. I guess you do have a suit that you need to fit in this next weekend, so.
That's true. What about you?
I'm just drinking a Michelob Ultra.
So you're also having water.
Basically, yeah.
Nice.
It's 4%. But, yeah. You have had an extended period of time to watch some movies, so what have you been checking out?
A few things, not too much actually. So continuing with my Hooptober, watched Hellraiser. Nice. This is pretty much a first watch for me. I remember trying to watch it a few years ago and just wasn't into it. But watched the whole thing and fucking loved it. I thought it was so good.
Buckle up, because they only get worse from here.
Yeah, I got fucking like seven more to go. I finished off my Jackass collection.
Nice.
Jackass 2.5 and then Jackass 3.5. Yeah, just fun movies. And then was that my dad's on the weekend and we always kind of watch movies together. He falls asleep, you know, that's all right. And I scrolled Netflix and it's like, oh, a black phone. I was like, I think you guys would really like it. And so I threw it on. I haven't watched this at the theater, so I was glad to watch it again. He fell asleep, you know, woke up at the ending and had to tell him what happened and stuff, you know. So
bad move.
Yep. But yeah, great movie.
Yeah.
And then last night, continued my Hooptober, I watched Red Eye. Been quite a few years since I've seen this movie. Sadly, I don't think it holds up. I don't know. Yeah, the story is kind of bonkers, and but I mean, anything with Rachel McAdams and Cillian Murphy is, you know, good. So yeah, I don't know, it was all right.
Nice. I haven't watched it since I think it first came out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Nice.
How about you?
For me, I finally watched Long Legs. Phenomenal movie. It's up there as one of my favorites of the year so far. And then I'm also doing the Hooptober. So I watched The Last House on the Left, which is a Craven movie, and then The Fog.
Nice.
I really enjoyed The Fog. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it, to be honest.
I think it was a first time watch for me too. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I think I've watched the remake.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, yeah.
But yeah, no, it was really good. It was fun. My work did a little movies in the park thing for
Yeah.
employees and their kids. So I took Brady and we watched Migration that night.
Nice.
And then continuing on with my Disney watches, I watched The Three Caballeros, which
Did you watch that already?
no, I watched Saludos Amigos.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Was this
so
one as inappropriate as the last one, or?
not as bad, no.
Oh, okay.
But like Disney went through a period of time because like these movies came out during the Second World War, right? So they went through a period of time where they just like didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And you can really tell. It's just
Okay.
like they just pumped out these random ass like fucking musical movies. I mean,
Yeah.
like every Disney movie has music in it, but these are like strictly musical. And it was just, I don't know. It was a rough time for Disney, that's for sure. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I know you've been playing Astro Bot. I started playing it too. Well, you beat it, but I have to fight Sarah and Brady for my PlayStation because they just, like she's up there playing it right now.
That's
I'm like,
hilarious.
fuck. I said, I'm gonna have to ground you from this PlayStation. But yeah, it's a fun game.
Is.
All right. For our box office numbers, we have, yeah, this is from last weekend. So in fifth place, we have Deadpool and Wolverine still on the list with
Wow.
3.8 million. Never Let Go, which was a new release from Lionsgate, fourth place with 4.4 million. I don't even know what this is. Summary. Oh, it's a horror movie. As an evil takes over the world beyond their front doorstep, the only protection for a mother and her twin sons is their house and their family's protective bond. Never heard of it.
Everyone's going nuts for this fucking new horror movie that came out.
Substance?
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently it's really good. It's playing in one of the theaters in Ottawa. I can't remember which one it was. Yeah, it's getting a lot of people are talking about it. Anyways, in third place we have the Speak No Evil remake, which brought in 5.7 million, which is actually getting surprisingly high reviews.
Yeah. I mean, I think because of James McAvoy, from what I heard, but yeah.
At second place we have Transformers 1, brought in 24.6 in its opening weekend. And in first place we have Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. With
Yeah.
25.9 million.
Nice.
Killing it. At the time of this list, it was at 226 million total gross domestic.
Pretty good.
Doing well.
Yeah, it is.
What else? Anything interesting on here? Not really. Whiplash got re-released, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Blink twice. Anyways. Not a bad list.
Yeah, pretty good.
All right, what do we have for 4Ks?
My weeks are totally fucked up now.
Yep.
That's okay. Alrighty. So we got Reacher Season 2. We've got the classical Universal Classic Monsters Essential Collection.
I have that, but it's on Blu-ray. Fuck.
Oh, do you? Shit. Black Sabbath, The End. I'm guessing that's a concert. Eric Clapton, also concert movie called Torso, which pretty cool. The Chronicles of Riddick on 4K.
That's a
That's a
sick
sick,
cover.
that is, yeah. We got Friday the 13th remake from 2009.
Okay.
That's also a sick cover as well. Doomsday. I
That was a
think I've
sick
seen that.
movie.
I think I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage, Bringing Out the Dead. It's The Long Good Friday on Criterion.
Never heard of that one.
Me either.
Cool. All right, that's it. We can start talking about this movie.
Do it.
Hopefully the discussion's not as long as the movie itself.
Don't
All
think so.
right, like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about 1995's Heat. Starting off with the synopsis, a group of high-end professional thieves start to feel the heat from the LAPD when they unknowingly leave a verbal clue at their latest heist. Movie's directed by Michael Mann. He's known for Ferrari, Black Hat, Public Enemies, Miami Vice, Collateral, Ali, and The Last of the Mohicans. And then he's got a bunch of producing credits too. A lot of them are these same movies, and he's got some other additions onto that. Weird to mention the. Oh, go
I was
ahead.
gonna say, did you know that this is a remake of his own movie?
I did not know that.
Yeah. IMDb, if you scroll down a bit, it has like the more like this.
Yeah.
So this is a remake of LA Takedown,
Oh.
which was a 1989 TV movie directed by Michael Mann. And yeah, different cast, obviously. Michael Rooker was in it. He played Bosco.
Okay.
Just seeing if there's anyone else really. Not really. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Daniel Baldwin. Pretty much it that I recognize. Huh. Yeah, what's the tagline here? Hannah is the cop and the heat is on. Whoa. Tough.
Yeah.
That's cool though. I didn't know that. But yeah, we'd already mentioned the cast list and how big it is. Gonna stick to my regular four, and then I have like 20 honorable mentions.
Yeah.
We have Al Pacino playing Vincent Hanna. We have Robert De Niro playing Neil McCauley. This was their first movie that they ever shared a screen together.
Really?
They were in The Godfather Part Two together, but they never were on screen together.
Okay.
Val Kilmer played Chris, and John Voight played Nate.
Yep.
So sad thinking about Val Kilmer, man. Like,
I know, man.
because he was good. Like, I
He
liked him a
was.
lot.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
he, especially in this movie, like, he was wicked in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to break up this honorable mention list? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with like the ones at the very end, like the
Okay.
that kind of made me laugh that they were in it. So let's see. What we got here? It took me a minute to remember who this was, but Dr. Bob, played by Jeremy Piven.
Yep.
Thought that was funny.
Very small part.
I didn't know this was his name. All I knew that it was the guy from Ace Ventura. Tone Locke played
Oh, yeah.
Richard, who is like kind of like a, I don't know, a gangster in it. Let's see. I mean, so many of these names sound familiar. I mean, we got Henry Rollins, who I didn't even realize it was him until like the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And of course, Danny Trejo.
Of course. This is how many Danny Trejo movies have we done on this podcast
Like the third or fourth one.
Just like in every action movie ever.
Yeah.
All right. That's all you're doing?
Yeah.
All right. I have Tom Sizemore. He was wicked in this movie too.
He was, yeah.
Amy Brenneman. Ashley Judd. Dennis Haysbert. William Fichtner again. We've done a couple of his movies too. A very young Natalie Portman.
Yep.
Hank Azaria again.
Again, yeah, it's true.
Can't remember what movie was it, Triple X? No, it was the
No,
one
I
that we
don't think
did.
so.
Yeah, it was a more recent movie that we did though. And then I have Martin Ferrero, who played the lawyer in Jurassic Park.
See, I saw his picture on here and I was like, that guy looks familiar, but I don't know if I can.
And I mean, there's a few more, but
Yeah.
it's just, yeah, this movie, or yeah, this movie has a ridiculous amount of big name actors.
Yeah, trying to see the movie we did with Hank Azaria.
Yeah, it was like one of our newer episodes.
I don't know. I'm not seeing anything really. Yeah, I don't think we did.
We definitely talked about him recently, though.
Maybe,
I'm determined to figure this out. Ah, I don't know. What the fuck? I swear we just talked about him on another episode.
yeah, I don't. I'm not sure, man.
Anyways, whatever. All right. Let's kick off this movie discussion.
Right. So this movie is 3 hours long. There's a lot of it's more like a drama. Like, I don't know. It's a bit of an action movie, but a lot of scenes that are just kind of nothing really happens, you know. Like the opening scene, like there's nothing that really happens. It's just no talking, no dialogue. It's just you see Neil, who is De Niro's character. He's pretending to be a paramedic. They're getting set up for a job they're doing. Chris is buying some like construction material, stuff like that, because they're making a bomb for their heist that they're about to do. We see Michael with a tow truck. He's picking up another guy. I believe he's picking up Bosco, I think. And yeah, so they're going to do a job now. Danny Trejo is also in their group. I believe they hire Bosco. He's not part of their group, but they kind of hire him because he's kind of like a merc for hire, I think, right?
Which one's Bosco?
I must have getting the names mixed up. The
Waingro?
guy, Waingro, sorry, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah, Waingro, who's kind of, I think, a guy, he's not part of the group, but just kind of the schemey fucking douchebag who just does jobs for money and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the first heist, fucking sick heist. It just gets you right into the movie, kind of shows you what this crew is about, how particular and like to the nose they are with everything that they do.
Meticulous, like just right down to the final detail.
And like the whole time through this movie, Vincent Hanna, who's the cop, is like always one step ahead of them. But then Neil, who's also a very smart fucking guy, like he's so intuitive, he knows that someone is there and he gets another step ahead of him. So it's like this kind of goose chase that they're playing through the whole movie. Because Neil is not a known guy, and because Hannah kind of knows the other group a bit, like he knows the names and stuff, but doesn't know who Neil is, Neil McCauley is.
Yeah, because he just got out of prison, right?
Who Neil did?
Yeah, I think
Oh,
so.
okay.
I think they mentioned that like way later on in the movie.
Right. Where do you rank these masks in movies?
Just the white hockey goalie masks.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think they're sick, man. Like,
Yeah.
because I don't know if you remember. Do you remember the video game Army of Two?
Yeah.
It like that whole opening scene reminded me of that. Because
Right.
like just the way that the camera's panning around them and they all just have the white hockey masks on. I don't know. I think they're sick.
Yeah, they just go with like the look of the movie, I find. Like this movie, like there's no, it's kind of a bland looking movie, but in a good way. Like I feel like it captures LA perfectly in the 90s. Like I feel the same with how Michael Mann directs his movies, like same with like Collateral.
Yeah, everything has like a blue hue over it. Like it's a very blue movie. Which I think works out really well. It's, yeah, I don't know. I think it looks amazing the way that he shot this.
So basically they are going to break into this armored car. So they pretty much Michael slams into the car, tips it over, and then they'll just put it like a bomb in the back and blow up the door and all get in there, take the three cops out, and they're looking through this stack of papers. I'm guessing it's like kind of like bonds, I guess they're looking for. So they get the paper and they have like, a minute and a half or minute before the cops come. And Wangro is outside with a shotgun up to one of the cops' faces. And the cops are like, have their hands up, like they're not doing anything. And this one guy is like, keeps staring at Wangro. And Wangro is a fucking moron, man. I hate this guy so much. And so does Neil. All these guys hate Wangro. But he like has a shotgun pointed up to the guy. The guy's ears are bleeding. And he's like, fucking giving me smack talk, like, shut the fuck up, stop staring at me. And then one of the guys, I think Michael, and one of the guys says, like, dude, he just fucking blew out his ears, like he can't fucking hear you. And then they're like leaving, and Wangro just fucking blasts the guy. And then the other cops, reach for the guns, and they had to kill the cops, they didn't want to, right?
Yeah, well, they have to kill the one, and then the other one was just like he's not doing anything. Like he's got his hands up, and then he stands up, and then Neo gives the go ahead like to shoot him. Because at this point, like you can't have any witnesses. Like, not only now is it armed robbery, but you have a double homicide on top of it. So just kill every witness now. All thanks to Wangro.
So they go up to the ambulance that Neil took, and they put bombs in it, and then they get off into the car and drive away, kind of use that as a distraction. And this is where we meet, we see Lieutenant Vincent Hanna with his couple other detectives. They're there trying to figure out, map out what it is. And Vincent's like so smart. You can tell he's been doing this job for so long. Because he's just like, oh, this was the perfect spot. They knew what they were doing. They had a minute and a half till we came. They knew how long it took us to get to this spot, right? And he's like, there's a highway here, highway right there, less than a mile away. He's like, they fucking picked the perfect spot to do this, right? So now they're at the diner. Neil and the guys are at the diner. They're giving Wangro shit because he fucking shot the cop and basically caused them to do that. Then they like take him outside, and Neil's like, not a scary dude, but also a scary dude at the same time. Because he just like grabs Wangro by the back of the hair and like slams it down, like fucking punches him like in the face a bunch of times.
Oh, he's ready to kill him, and then a cop
Oh,
shows
yeah.
up.
Yeah. And then they're like, okay, like they signal to Neil, like, don't do it yet. And then fucking Wangro gets away.
That was a question I was going to ask you. Like, who would you rather deal with, Pacino or De Niro?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, if you had one of them coming after you.
Oh, okay.
Because I find like they're two very different style of actors, but they're both so badass in their own way.
I don't know. I feel like Pacino, maybe.
Yeah. I feel like Pacino's just like very loud and boisterous, whereas like De Niro will fuck you up and he doesn't care who you are in like almost any movie.
And like he's not a big guy,
No.
but he just controls his guys in the room so well that like doesn't matter how fucking big some guy is, like he's gonna fucking listen to Robert De Niro, right?
It's like fucking Joe Pesci in like Casino or something like that. Like just a little psychopath.
So after this all happens, Neil, he needs to take a break, so he just goes to a restaurant. He's just chilling, and this is where he meets Edie, the girl that he kind of falls in love with throughout the movie. And he's never really felt this way. He's always had like one night stands and stuff like this. So like this is all kind of new to him. because he's always just been a criminal, right? He likes this life, right?
He has a line. Here it is. A guy told me one time, don't let yourself get attached to anything you're not willing to walk out on in 30 seconds flat if you feel the heat around the corner. Now, if you're on me and you got to move when I move, how do I expect to keep a marriage? Like, it's just a perfect line to kind of encapsulate who he is as a person.
Yeah, same with the end of the movie, right?
Like
He has,
zero attachments.
he decides at the end to do what he does within 30 seconds, right? So they go back to their place. One thing that really threw me off was how bad the fucking CGI city was in the background. I don't know. They filmed this in LA. Why do you need to? It's like their faces were like popping off the screen. Like it was that bad. I don't know. Bugged the shit out of me.
I don't know. I'm assuming that they filmed it like that just so they could have the actual background that they want. Like,
Yeah,
yeah, they
true.
filmed it in LA, but maybe it wasn't like where they wanted it to be.
Yeah, true. So the next day, Vincent is trying to investigate. He is meeting with one of his kind of informants, I guess, at a kind of junkyard. What do you think of Pacino in this movie?
I know you told me you had some thoughts on him, man, but I fucking love Pacino in this movie.
Like, he's fucking great, but he is overacting so fucking hard in this movie.
But that's what he
But
does.
I know, but like, especially in this movie, like, especially this scene, he's just like yelling, like, for no reason. Show me what you got. Show me what you got. Just like yelling. Like,
That one scene just got a great ass.
yeah.
Don't
It's
know,
just so
man.
out of nowhere and so over the top, and like it's hilarious, but it's like, hey, dude, like.
That's Pacino, though, man. Like every movie he's in, he does that shit. It's great. Amazing.
Yeah. So he has to meet someone at 2 a.m. Because he's like meeting with this guy, and the guy doesn't really give him anything. He's like, the guy, what does he say? He's like, oh yeah, I saw a guy walk in the street, and he was like ex-convict. Pacino was like, okay, great. Like, what the fuck? He's, he just goes nuts. He's like, show me what you got. And the guy's like, okay, the guy's name was this, and this. He's like, meet my buddy Richard at 2 a.m. And so he goes there, and I love his interaction with Richard, because like Richard isn't giving him anything, and then like Vincent's just like, all right, well, I guess you fucking wasted my fucking time. And I just love that scene.
it's great.
Neil is setting up another bank job, because he meets with, what's John Voight's character again?
Nate.
Nate. He's like, I don't know, Neil's like the boss, but then like Nate is the one who like sets everything up, and like I don't know, is he like a fixer maybe? I don't know, because he like gets like the passport and like all the stuff for him to like either get away or stuff like that, right?
Yeah, he like funds the heist and shit.
Right. Yeah.
And I love Voight's character in this movie too. I think, I don't know, there's just something about him. Like, even in Anaconda, we talked about him in on our Elm Street episode of Anaconda, and he has a terrible fucking shitty accent, but he just has such a great screen presence. There's just
Yeah.
something about that guy.
So yeah, the next job is going to be worth $12 million. Is that's the heist that been in the movie that they're talking about in this scene, right? Okay, because there is like another kind of small job they do like in between, but they don't really get anything from that one. Kind of falls through, right?
Yeah, this is the big one that they are doing, but then oh my God, fucking Hannah, Vincent, he like they kind of catch on to them. and they sort of intercept before they're able to complete the heist.
Yeah,
But
right.
then they do like a random little bank job in between.
Yes, yeah. So Neil finds out that Chris's wife is cheating on him. They have a kid together, Chris and Justine.
Justine is Pacino's wife,
Yeah,
Charlene.
Charlene. And you can tell that Chris is very abusive and like angry towards her. So like she is cheating on him. And even Neil, like he goes to this hotel because he sees her and he goes in there and he's like, he's mad at her, but also not. He's like, just give Chris one fucking chance. And he's like, who's this motherfucker? And it's is it Hank Azaria in this? There was, yeah. And he's like, I know that Chris is like a piece of shit, but just give him one more chance. If he fucks up again, then like I'll leave you alone. So she's like, okay, like I'll go back and like pretend to like him. I don't know.
I think it's because like he just wants Chris's head in the game, right? Like he doesn't want him thinking about that shit.
That's
Because
true.
like if he's got like problems at home, then his head's not going to be in this heist. And he needs everybody to be like on point. Like I don't think he gives a fuck about Chris's happiness or anything like that.
Probably not.
Because I mean, like it all falls back to his quote that I mentioned earlier, right?
Yeah,
Just no
true.
attachments to anybody. But they have a job that they need to get done and they need everybody on board.
So Neil is meeting with Roger Van Zant, who is he is a money launderer who is setting up this job for Neil and the guys. And Neil has to go to some location out in the middle of nowhere to collect money from him, right? And it was a setup the whole time. But Neil and the team are so like they're ahead of everyone because Neil is in this area in his car, being a truck, dropping off some money, and then a guy gets out of the other car, goes around, and but you see Chris is like up on a roof of this fucking massive fucking rifle. And he's just like, Neil, you got a guy on whatever. And fucking Neil like backs up, crushes the guy's leg between the cars, and like, they don't surviving, kills the two guys there. But the writing in this movie is so fucking good, man. Like the dialogue and everything, like when Neil is on the payphone talking to Van Zant, just like we said before, this is a guy you fucking listen to and will fucking scare you. Because Van Zant, he's playing fucking idiot, right? Like he's like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. And I love that Neil's just like, well, you're talking to an empty telephone. And then Van Zant's like, well, what does that mean? He's like, you're a fucking dead man. And even Neil, like, he's scared, but then he's like talking to, I forget who else he talks to, but he doesn't know who Neil is really. And the guy that he's talking to is like, oh yeah, if he says he's coming after you, like, oh yeah, I think Wangro says that, right?
Oh yeah, because
Later in the
Wayne goes
movie.
in with them, yeah.
And he says, like, once Neil says you're a dead man, he will not fucking give up, no matter what is in his way. You're gonna be a dead man. So the whole movie, Van Zant is stuck in his fucking little penthouse for like a month straight because he's too scared to leave. He was played by Fichtner. He was just great. There was a lot of character development in this movie too, right? Like this next scene, whenever all the guys are out for dinner and Neil, it's a round table, and Neil's kind of like at the head of a table kind of thing. And the camera's like going around everyone, and like he's with all the families, right? And it goes around, and it's kind of like from his POV. He's like looking at everyone so happy, and then it goes back to him, and he, I think, realizes that he is lonely because he tells Edie that like there's just one night stand, he does this and leaves, and they agreed, like, oh, it's just a one night stand. But I think in this moment, he realized that he's been doing this for like 40 years, whatever it is, right? And he's getting lonely.
Yeah, he's got no one.
Yeah. So then he calls her and she's like, well, I thought we agreed that, you know, it's just a one-night stand, no feelings. And he says, well, I'm lonely. And she's like, I'm lonely too. And then they kind of start a relationship together.
But she doesn't know what he does.
No, he says he does some traveling for work or something like that. I forget.
Salesman or something like that, I think he says.
So they're doing another job. I believe, I don't know exactly what they're doing, but they're stealing some sort of precious metals, I think. From the, but I love how this is all set up. Chris is like on the inside with the fucking giant drill drilling. And then we get Hannah, who's across the road, hidden in these moving vans or whatever. And they have it all set up, and one guy fucks it up. And I'm surprised that guy still has a job. Like, if I was Neil and them, I would lose my fucking mind on that guy. Like, he screws the whole thing up.
What does he do? He like fall, like trips and falls inside the van or something like that.
He goes to sit down and then, like, falls onto the side, his gun hits it. Because they're there and, like, the job's happening. And Neil and the, or Hannah and them just need to see them leave with something and then they can arrest them, right? But Neil comes in, it's like all dark, and he like goes to a corner. And at this point, it's like, I think Neil has a feeling that someone is there, but he doesn't know for sure. And then the noise happens, and like just the way it's shot, the camera's like in on Neil from the inside of like the van, and like part of his face is dark. And it's like very quiet, and he's like looking across. And then the camera like goes to Vincent looking at him, and it's like Hannah's like, can he see me right now? Like he doesn't want to move, right?
And like it's so sick too, because it's like we're seeing Neil through like night vision goggles kind of
Yeah.
thing. Like he's just like a white kind of silhouette. And you just see him like he's looking directly at the van. And the way that the camera switches back and forth, it makes you feel like him and Hannah are making like complete eye contact.
Yeah.
But obviously they're not. But yeah, I think this scene is awesome, the way that they shot it.
Yeah.
And then, like, immediately, Neil's just like, nope, pull the plug, we're gone.
Yeah, just goes into Chris. Time to go. Just like leaves all this shit there and then just walk out. And the one detective, he's like, let's go fucking arrest him. And Hannah's like, no, I got fucking jurisdiction. We got nothing on these guys. If we arrest them now, they'll be out in fucking 3 weeks, right?
You got nothing.
Yeah. But they get the information on who these guys are from this scene, right? Because someone says something, I think they click with a voice or something like that, or a name maybe in this scene. I believe it's Michael who they learn the information from, not on purpose, but and like Hannah's like, you know, he's like pumped up. He's like, you guys are going to have the surprise of a fucking lifetime on your next score. Like, I'm gonna be waiting for you. Meanwhile, Wangro, he is looking for work. He gets hired by Van Zant to, I believe, kill Neil, right?
Yeah,
And they just,
basically be his bodyguard.
and the one scene just kind of shows like how fucking much of a piece of shit Wangro is. He like has a hooker in his hotel room, and like he's got the fucking, it's a black girl, and he has like the Nazi symbol, and it's like, if I was her, like, and I saw that, like, just get the fuck out of there. But she's still trying to make money because like she's still being nice to him, and then Wingrove just basically tells her, like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking kill you. And he does. And so the next day after all this, they're kind of, Neil and them are kind of spooked a bit. And they're kind of discussing, like, okay, do we want to do this big $12 million job? We know the cops know about us or onto us, right? And they're talking, and then we get one of the most epic lines in a movie. The action is the juice. Fucking great. What else happens? Who goes? I think Neil, not Neil, Hannah goes to Hank Azaria's office, I believe, because he's trying to find out more information about Chris and Charlene and all of them. And then we get the scene we already mentioned. Hannah's at home with his ex-wife, and we meet his daughter. And he has his wife's new boyfriend is over, and he's like sitting there watching TV, and Hannah's like, you know, I don't care that you're over here, you know, sitting on my couch, eating my food, fucking my wife, but don't watch my fucking TV. And then he's like, goes on, he's like, I know it's easy, but she's got a great ass.
That's
And he like does like the fucking so funny.
great. And he steals the fucking TV.
Yeah, he takes it with him, and
It's
then
just this little fucking piece of shit TV that you would have in like a garage, maybe up on a shelf.
so now Hannah and all the detectives are at the harbor, because they either heard or they are trying to figure out where their escape route is going to be. So at their harbor, and they're like trying to figure out, okay, talking about this and this. And then they're all discussing it. And then out of nowhere, Hannah's like just starts laughing. He's like, these fucking guys. He's like, they got us. They fucking got us. This wasn't, we were set up. And it just goes to show, like we said at the beginning, like Hannah's ahead of them, but then Neil just fucking takes three steps ahead of him. And Hannah realizes they know who we fucking are now. And then you see Chris or one of the guys like way out fucking nowhere on a roof, right? And he sees them, and you see Hannah's like, all right, here I am, you motherfuckers. He's like trying to find where they are. I loved it.
That's good. Yeah, the LAPD Police Department.
Yeah, just got made. But then later on that night, Hannah pulls over Neil, and they go for coffee together.
Dude, one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie, if not
Honestly,
my favorite scene.
I totally 100% agree. And nothing happens in the scene. It's just De Niro Pacino talking to each other.
Unscripted.
Really?
Or no. Sorry, not unscripted, but unrehearsed.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they're just talking about each other's lives. And they are pretty much the same person on other ends of like totally different worlds.
They have the exact same drive and mentality. This
Yeah.
one man's a con man, the other one's a cop. And
Yeah.
just like you can see as this conversation plays out, the respect and admiration that each one of them has for the other one. And it's so cool to fucking see because, like, you have a master con man, you have an LAPD detective, and just two completely different walks of life, but the exact same person. I don't know, man. It's just that whole exchange was so fucking good.
Yeah, because Neil, you know, Hannah says, oh, you must hate your fucking life. He's like, well, no, I spent just gone to jail, spent my life in jail, and you know, I don't have relationships. I love this. You know, I love doing this. This is what I do. And then Neil to Hannah is like, you must have a great fucking life. And Hannah's like, nah, actually, my life is kind of fucking sucks.
I have the quote here. It's like, my life's a disaster zone. I got a stepdaughter so fucked up because her real father's this large type asshole. I got a wife. We're passing each other on the damn slope of a marriage. My third, because I spend all my time chasing guys like you around the block. That's my life. And then like Hannah says, like, do you never want, like, if you never wanted a regular type life? And Macaulay's like, what the fuck's that? Barbecues and ball games? Like, no, I don't want that. It's just, it's so good.
Do you have the quote up of that are kind of last words to each other, whatever? Hannah says, if you see me coming around the corner, you're not going to be able to say goodbye to a girl, something along those lines.
I was hoping I did find that because I love that too. Because Macaulay's such a badass in that part. I'll see if I can Google.
But to basically say, like, if it comes down to it, like, I'm gonna kill you, basically, to each other, right?
Yeah, he was basically, yeah, he said, like, I don't care who gets in my way. If you're in my way and like in between what I want, then I don't care who you are or what you are. I'm going to take you out.
Yeah, another what exchange from that. Vincent says, we were sitting here, you and I, like a couple of regular fellas. You do what you do, I do what I gotta do. And now that we've been face to face, if I'm there, like I'll put you away, I won't like it. But I tell you, if it's between you and some poor bastard whose wife you're gonna turn into a widow brother, you are going down.
Here it
And then
is.
Neil says, there's a flip side to that coin. What if you do get me boxed in? I gotta put you down. So no matter what, you will not get in my way. But face to face, yeah, but I will not hesitate, not for a second.
And Hannah, maybe that's the way it'll be, or who knows? And Neil goes, or maybe we'll never see each other again.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, just, I don't know, such a perfect scene by two juggernaut actors in, yeah, I don't know. It's just amazing.
And then Hannah goes back to where they're doing with the other detectives, and he finds out that all their surveillance got dumped. So they basically lost everything. So now they're getting set up for the bank heist. We do get a little bit of backstory. What's the driver's name, the cook that they
Oh,
hire?
yeah.
Because basically this guy just got out of jail. His mother was trying to get him a job, get him off the street, and he gets a job at this restaurant, and like the boss is like a total piece of shit to him. And then Neil comes to him because I think he's the work for Neil. And Neil asked him, like, do you want to come do one more job for me? And guy basically says, fuck it.
Drucker,
It's the tr maybe.
Drucker,
Yeah, maybe.
Drucker.
But like he wasn't in it that much, but when he gets killed at the end, and you see his mom is just like she's at a bar, whatever, and she sees on the TV in the bar like her son was killed. It's like, imagine finding out like that way that like your fucking son got killed.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It's at a bar TV, and it's like, she did everything she could to get him out of this, but he still made his way, right?
Sorry, Drucker was the other cop. It was
Right.
Donald. And the guy who plays Drucker
Yeah.
is Bubba in Forrest Gump.
No way.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Wow. Yeah. This fucking heist. I want to see this movie in the fucking IMAX.
Yeah.
Because this scene is, from an action standpoint and a technical standpoint, fucking masterpiece.
You read the trivia on this?
No.
They didn't, and so they were originally going to just have the gunshots played out in like a soundstage afterwards. But Michael Mann decided not to do that, and they just like strategically placed microphones all over this bank scene. So those gunshots are like legitimate gunshots.
Yeah, because like I have in my notes, like the fucking the this whole scene, the shootout looks so real. Like the flash from the guns, the look of the guns, the noise from the guns, and like the echoes. And man, I would love to watch this movie in IMAX just for this scene, just even with the speakers around you, like,
Good thing Alec Baldwin wasn't in this movie.
Wow.
Sorry, had to.
Jesus. Yeah, so they're doing this big bank heist. Michael is the first to leave with the first bag and just nonchalantly walks out with a fucking big ass fucking gun hanging
Yeah, I saw
out his
that too.
jacket.
Yeah.
He has like a big trench coat, but like the gun is longer than the trench coat, so
Yeah.
yeah. So they all like go different ways. But then Hannah and all the cops pull up and there's just this massive fucking shootout. Hannah's on site. Not Drucker that gets killed, but the other detective gets shot. We mentioned Donald gets shot, the driver. Chris ends up getting hit in the shoulder area. And it made me laugh is whenever Hannah is like chasing after Neil and Chris, he like chooses the worst fucking spot to stand. He's like in the middle of like the grocery store doorway, and there's all these people coming out, and it's like move somewhere else so that innocent bystanders don't get shot.
Yeah. Did you read any of the trivia on this scene?
No, but like I was thinking like some of the extras, they had like their hands on their ears, and I imagine like it probably was fucking loud.
Yeah. Oh, definitely it would have been. So the United States Marine Corps shows this scene to their recruits often because Val Kilmer changes his mag, like switches out his magazine, like perfectly. Like this is how they expect the Marine Corps to swap out their magazines. And he did it
Really?
so perfectly that they show this scene to their new recruits. So, like, they use that scene as a fucking training
That's
for them.
crazy.
Fucking nuts.
That's wild. Yeah, so they Chris and Neil get away. Michael's by himself. He grabs a little girl. He like turns around in slow-mo and Hannah's just standing there with a fucking big ass gun. And Hannah doesn't give a fuck, you know?
Nope.
Michael has his girl like right here, and her face is here, his is like here. And Hannah takes the shot still and hits him right
Yeah.
in the head.
Ballsy.
Very.
Because you don't see that happen very often in movies.
No,
Normally
you
they'll
don't.
fucking they'll wait. But he's been a cop for over 30 years, so I would hope his aim is good.
So they are all going to meet at Nate's. They find out because Chris asks, like, how did the cops know this is happening? And he's like, Neil says, the only one who wasn't here, it was Trejo. Dude, that's his character's name in the movie. Not to be confused. So Trejo sold him out. Neil goes to Trejo's place. His girl is dead. Trejo is on the floor, basically dying. And Neil's like, why the fuck did you ride us out? And Trejo says, like, I had no choice. It was fucking Wangro. And Neil's like, Wangro did all this? He's like, no, he wasn't alone. Like, Van Zant helped him, right? And then Trejo is like, you know, he feels bad. He's like, you know, I'm sorry, man. Like, I don't want to go it this way. And Neil shoots him in the head to kind of put him in his misery, right?
Yeah, but they like they broke in, they raped and beat the shit out of his wife. I think they took his kid. Like,
Oh, wow.
I'm pretty sure that was all part of that dialogue. Maybe not the kid part, but the wife for sure.
Yeah,
So
because
it's
there's like
just,
blood over the walls and shit like
oh
that.
yeah, they fucked their shit up.
Yeah, so Chris's wife is now under home protection. She is signed up basically to rat Chris out or to find Chris. Because Chris like gets like surgery basically, because he had a bullet in his shoulder. And she ends up meeting with Chris. He cut all his hair off for one. But then like they kind of have like a look to each other, and I think she still loves him a bit. So she like kind of gives him like a sign, like, get out of here. So she lets him go, and then like he ends up getting pulled over, because Drucker, they say, oh, we got someone pulled over, so he's like, check him, because Charlene says, oh, it wasn't him. Then they check, it's like some other address or license
Yeah,
name.
the name checks out, the licenses or the car is registered to this person.
So let Chris go, and Chris goes off on his own. And then I like at the end, Neil got attached because he asks, I forget who, where did Chris go? And I think Nate tells him, oh, he's gone. And I think Neil was kind of hurt, right? He's like, oh. And then Nate's like, yeah, he's a little man, like, so.
I do, yeah. I feel like he's kind of grown like a little bit sentimental towards this crew. Because like this is his crew, right? Like he trusts them, they all have their job, they're all doing great at their job. So he knows that he can trust these guys.
So he is back at his place with Edie. He tells her what he does, what he is, and she gets mad, obviously, that he brought her into this. But he has a ticket that he got from Nate to disappear basically on an airplane, and him and Edie are going to go off together. And they're like basically on their way, like leaving, and he like just pulls off and he's like, I got something to do first. And he couldn't let Van Zandt go, right? So
Personally.
he kills Van Zandt before Wayne Grow, right?
I love this scene too.
Me too.
Van Zandt's just chilling in his house watching a hockey game. And he's got like these great big, huge glass windows that overlook like a patio. And you just see Neil walk up, grab a chair, and just fucking huck the chair through the window. It's good.
And he shoots Van Zandt. But then, meanwhile, Vince is back at the hotel, and 'cause he's like kind of taking a break from going after Neil for the night, and he notices that there's water all on the floor, and he sees that his stepdaughter is in the bathtub, cut up. She's almost dead, but she isn't dead. He ends up going to the hospital, and she ends up becoming stable. But the one scene that kind of goes to show, like, Neil and Hannah are both so attached to what they do. Neil has a chance to go off with Edie to live a life, to finish this off, right? Because they got the money, right? Or at least some of the money from the heist, right? So that's a fucking good chunk of money, right? But he has to kill Van Zandt and Wangro. And then Hannah, it's like he's sitting in the waiting room with his ex-wife, and his stepdaughter, I guess, is almost dead. And then he just gets his fucking pager goes off. And he's like, well, I gotta get to the office. And it's like, dude, what the fuck? Priorities, man.
But it like, in my opinion, it shows that Neil is a bigger man than Vincent is. Because Neil is willing and able to change his beliefs and change his thoughts for what he thinks is right. Whereas Hannah just stays to his old habits. Stepdaughter's almost dead. He caught her with her fucking arm slashed. And yet he's still going back out. I don't know. That's my opinion.
No, I agree. So now Neil is going after Wangro. He ends up going to the hotel. I don't know if it's the same hotel, but I love this because like he sets off the fire alarm, goes up to his room, knocks on the door, and then like turns around and Wingrove is like, "Yeah, I can't go anywhere. Like I'm protecting someone or something like that." And he looks at the people and you see like Neil's back and he's just like has a flashlight, just like directing people, right? So Wingrove like opens the door but puts like a lock on, and then fucking Neil just boots down the door and just
Love it.
fucking shoots him in the chest. And then before we mentioned about the 30 seconds that Neil has to decide basically what he's gonna do, right? All this chaos is happening, people running away, and Edie in his car is like parked outside of the hotel. And he just looks at Edie and basically just keeps walking, just walks away from her, And she's like kind of confused, and he just goes off. And then you see Hannah come out a few minutes later trying to find him. And I don't know how Hannah found him or where he was going.
I don't know either.
What?
Because, yeah, I don't know. Like, Neil's jumping over fences and he's
Like
in
running
all
through
the.
the crowd, running down these different side streets, but like somehow, I don't know, still, I don't know where he was going, to be honest. Like,
Yeah, I don't know either. Because he ends up like
the
a
tarmac.
harbor. Yeah, tarmac. Yeah. Not a harbor. But like there's like shipping crates and like everything all over the place.
Yeah. What do you think of the final scene of the movie between them? Did you want more? Did you think it was like poetic enough for the movie?
Think it was enough. I don't know if I wanted more, man, at that point in the movie. It's just like,
True.
Jesus
Yeah.
Christ. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it ended kind of quickly. Given what the lead up was, I would have liked to have seen like maybe another exchange, like with more dialogue that we saw in the restaurant. But I don't know. I think it was all right. 'Cause I mean, Neil did say that he was never going to go back to prison,
Yeah,
and
he
now he's
did.
not going back.
Yeah, I did like this ending because like there's like these, I don't know what they were, but these like small buildings, whatever. And Neil's hiding behind one, and then you see like a plane come and all like the
Yeah.
lights flash on, and he's like hiding, like looking, and the lights flash off, and then he's like around the corner. You see like Hannah come running up, and he's in the middle of the field, and Neil like has a shot, but then the lights turn on. And Hannah sees his like shadow in there and just like goes up and shoots him. And then Neil is like dying, like laying on like the ground kind of thing. And he's like, "I told you I'm never going back." And then they just like hold hands and it was, I don't know, very sweet.
Yeah, no. I think it all stems back to like that mutual respect that they have for each other. And yeah, I mean, Hannah sees it as he caught the bad guy, but at the same time, like I don't think he wanted him to die. Like I feel like he had a job to do and he wanted to get it done, but I don't think he wanted it to end like that.
Anything else?
No, I mean, that scene where like the airplane's flying over, I thought that was brilliant too.
Yeah.
Just like, 'cause the only way he knew he was there is 'cause that plane flew over and you could see his shadow. And it was just like such an instant snap reaction to spin around and see him standing there. I thought it was amazing. But yeah, nothing else really.
All right. Well, that's the way the bullets fly.
All right, how did you rate this movie?
Letterboxd gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Just one of the all-time greatest action cop dramas. May honestly, it may be the best cop movie up there. I mean, there's a
Yeah.
lot, like you consider like The Departed, I guess, too, and like kind of those movies.
I'd give it top three.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Honestly, this is probably a 5, but I just maybe a tad too long, I think. But the acting in it is phenomenal. The characters are great. Like we talked about, the editing, the directing, the cinematography, the soundtrack, just fucking all around great fucking movie. So yeah, 4.5 out of 5.
All right, sweet. That is also what I gave it.
Right.
With I think, yeah, the only real downfall is the length of it.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much going on in this movie, and it's good because, like, I know with shorter movies, sometimes we say, like, fuck, I wish I had more character development. I wish we had this. I wish we had that. Well, this movie has all that, and we're complaining about it still. But I mean, I feel like 20 minutes, take
Yeah.
off 20 minutes, make it a nice 2.5 hour movie, and I think it's a lot. I think it's a 5-star movie.
It doesn't feel like 3 hours, but
No,
does at the same time. Like, it was kind of
yeah,
weird. Yeah.
it's like we get everything that you want in a movie with like stellar dialogue and the great script, the great acting, all that stuff, but there's just too much of it at times. Like, do we need the bank heist in between? I mean, it was an amazing scene, and I don't want them to take it out,
Yeah.
but it's just like, I don't know, a little bit too much. But yeah, I mean, 4.5 out of 5. I already said top three cop drama action for me. Yeah, I think it's a great movie. I'm really glad that we watched it. And I'm definitely not going to wait as long to rewatch it again. But I mean, you mentioned The Departed, and that movie's like almost 3 hours long, too, I think, right?
Is it? Okay.
It's very long. 2.5 for sure. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like if you're going to have a fantastic movie, you need to have them be a little bit longer.
Yeah.
All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see. Though Al Pacino and Robert De Niro share but a handful of screen minutes together, Heat is an engrossing crime drama that draws compelling performances from its stars and confirms Michael Mann's mastery of the genre. Based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
What's it like, a 94?
You got the audience score, right?
Okay.
The critics gave it an 83%.
Ah, too low.
I agree. That's on 151 reviews and an average score of 7.8 out of 10. The audience was a 94% on 100,000 ratings and an average score of 4.4 out of 5, or an 8.8 out of 10.
Nice.
So very highly rated, although the
Yep.
critics could be a little bit higher.
Yep.
But yeah. I think it's a pretty big consensus that this movie is amazing.
Yeah. Letterboxd is pretty much spot on with the audience. 4.3 out of 5. Alan gave it a 3, but I think that's just his logs that he does, right? Let's see who else worth mentioning here. A lot of people have watched this, obviously. Anthony Here Be Monster gave it a 4.5 as well. Nathan I Hope You Suffer podcast gave it a 5 out of 5. John gave it a 4.5 as well.
Okay, it's time for our
cunning stunts.
Or kind of lack thereof in this movie.
Yeah.
Mean, there is some, but how would you rate the stunts in this movie?
See, this one's tough because are they stunts? Like, I feel like the direction and the sound and all that make it so much better. I don't know. I'll say a 4 out of 10, I guess. That was kind of tough to score. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Favorite stunt. I'll just go with the opening heist with the armored truck.
Okay.
Just the way Michael just runs right into it, just falls right over, and they just blow up the door, and the scene is done in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, very quick.
Yeah. And stunt I would like to try. I don't know. This one's kind of tough. How being the getaway driver in the
Okay.
final bank heist? I mean, I probably will die, but
I'd like to see you be a getaway driver.
how do you think the movie would have been if they had hired Ryan Gosling from Drive
Jesus Christ,
instead?
they never get caught.
Yeah, exactly.
Baby driver.
What about you?
I also gave the stunts 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's not heavily stunted, if that's what you want to say. But everything is so convincing and so real looking. I just like, yeah, okay, there's not like big high action explosions or like jumping off buildings or anything like that. But what they do just seems so real and accurate that I think they did a great job.
Yeah.
Stunt I would want to try. Or no, bank, no, favorite stunt. I'm gonna say the bank. Whenever they're robbing the bank. Yeah, I just think it was brilliantly shot. It was so fun to watch that scene play out. And then like how it goes out into the streets. I think it's awesome. And stunt I would want to try. I don't know. Without incriminating myself, I think it'd be fun to rob a bank.
Yeah.
To like, I don't know, set it all up and whatnot. Like it kind of reminds me of GTA 5. It's like there's a bunch of heists and stuff in that game, and just the way that you set everything up and like plan everything. I don't know. I mean, I would never do it, but I think it'd be fun.
Now you moan if you watch Hell or High Water.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Nice.
All right, we can wrap up this episode and I get to choose our next movie.
Yes.
Next month is October.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick an action horror movie.
Oh shit.
And I was kind of racking my brain. I was like, what would be a fun one to do? We're going to do Dawn of the Dead from 2004.
I was thinking about this movie, honestly, of pick. Nice.
Big Daddy Ving Rhames.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah,
Looking
I think
forward
it'll
to
be a
it.
fun one.
Yeah.
It was between that or Army of the Dead.
Okay.
That's my pick. So that'll be our episode in a couple weeks. In the meantime, check us out on Instagram. Listen to our previous episodes. And speaking of horror, we also obviously have a horror podcast called The Podcast on Elm Street. So make sure you check that one out. And for October on that podcast, we are going to be going through the Haunting of Hill House TV show, which I need to get watching.
Me too, because I've just been so fucking busy and like
know.
getting married next weekend and trying to get that all
Yeah.
sorted, and
Yeah.
I don't even know what's going on anymore, so
We're golfing and hanging out this Saturday, so that's going to be
yeah.
a wash. We're not watching anything that day.
Nope.
We'll find time.
Oh yeah.
It's only 5 hours worth of TV that we have to watch by, but yeah. Anyways, thanks for listening. Yep.
Talk to you guys in a couple of weeks.
I feel like you're just like checked out.
I am.
Done with this shit.